Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, 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 yeah. In the paint, Blog Talk Radio. And I'm Crayon. New York is filled with ballers with nasty crossovers. Jump shots that pop from half court, a block over. The break's over, the Giants and the Jets going straight to the bowl, Yankees and the Mets rolling. The Rangers and Islanders, and how can I forget the Devils and Brooklyn Nets? You know I rep my Knicks. Brain scans reveal we the most knowledgeable fans. That's why we demand more for sitting in the stands. A lot of cats be hating, who's the best, but who's debating? We got a man on the street for sports conversation. In the paint, Blog Talk Radio. Go from the locker room to your headphone or stereo. Yo, them other sports shows really ain't about nothing. You gotta pop and drop it, and it's open for discussion. Let me know in the off season what players should we acquire, who's hurt, who should retire, what coach need to get fired. Hey yo, in the paint, Blog Talk Radio. All you gotta do is call them once and let them know. And there you go, in the paint, Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Once again, giving you the real talk in sports. In the paint, Blog Talk Radio. Every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Catch my brother, Max611. Big brother R, Cyclonus Walker. If you want to reach us by email, in the paint radio at gmail, baby. And we out.
Yeah. 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. is the realest show in sports. Max611, Big Brother R, Cyclonus Walker. Big Brother R, what's up?
What's up, brother? Just chilling. What's the word?
I'm good, you know. Hanging in there. It's another week. You know, more dollars being spent in the Big Apple.
Exactly. I know that's right. You know, feeling good, everything, you know, I'm ready to get this going and whatnot. Looking forward to a certain sport that's coming up, you know, the regular season, should I say. You know, I'm looking forward to that, getting a little bit of that today. You know, hopefully we got our callers getting ready to chime in with their own little opinions. I'm talking about the NFL here.
That's right. AFC preview later tonight.
Later tonight, that's right. So join us, please. You know?
Yeah. So let's start it off. Fight was moved. Juan Manuel Marquez. He of the brutal KO of Manny Pacquiao in their last fight. And Tim Bradley, somebody else who beat Manny Pacquiao. They moved their fight. They pushed it back to October 12th. Aram does not want to go against Floyd because Floyd was fighting on that same day against Canelo Alvarez. Good move, by him. Good move.
Yeah, of course. Smart.
You know? He maximizes his money by pushing that fight back. What are your thoughts on the fight, R?
Well, there's some interesting stuff going on with this. I mean, the first thing is, I think there was a story. This guy, what's his name, Joel Diaz, who's Bradley's fighter. You know, he trains Timothy Bradley, and he thinks that Bob Arum doesn't want Bradley to win against Marquez. And the reason being is he feels that Marquez is a bigger draw. You know,
he is. I agree with that.
You agree with that?
I mean,
you know what?
He's a bigger
name.
And
whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? If you really think about it, whose fault is that?
Bob Arum.
I'm gonna throw something else at you. I think it's Tim Bradley's fight. I mean, fault. See, honestly,
him too.
And I'm gonna tell you why. You know, he has a history of laying off for long periods of times in between fights. You know, that's in my opinion. That's what I've seen. So if you're not on the scene, you know, people tend to forget about you, you know, especially
that's
the fact
true.
You haven't, you're not really a big household name like that anyway, you know, you're kind of, you know, your personality is kind of, I hate to say it like this, but it's kind of bland, you know, you don't have to be a typical a-hole like Adrian Broner, but you do have to have some type of personality, some type of charisma that appeals to you know what I'm saying, appeals to the masses and whatnot. You know, to me, he doesn't have that. So like I said, when you are not in the spotlight, if you're not consistently fighting, you know, if you're not out there and say taking long ones, people are going to be like, just like that. You know? You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, I get that, you know, but I really believe it's his more than Aaron. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. That was the computer.
I was like, what?
Hit 1 hour audio clips.
It's all good. It's all good. But I just feel that I would blame, you know, Tim Bradley himself more than I would Aaron, to be honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what do you think, sir?
I agree with you. He's bland as peanut butter and jelly.
Well, wait a minute. Some people like peanut butter and jelly. Like,
No. I mean, you can like it, but it's bland. It's not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exciting. It doesn't have that zing.
Right. You know, and this has been some. This, sorry, brother. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. But this has been something that's been going on with him for a while now. You know, I think I had mentioned it previously in another show. Like I said, you have to get yourself out there. You have to fight. You can't take these long layoffs, you know, mm-hmm. and expect to be the bigger draw, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
that fight against Pacquiao was boring. It was a boring fight.
Mm. You see?
You know?
I don't even
remember it.
Well,
did it even happen? It was so boring.
It actually happened. Otherwise, he wouldn't have the belt now. But,
oh, okay.
You understand? But what do you call it, man? It's just, like I said, it's his fault. You know, I'm going to be looking forward to October 12th, to tell you honestly, because I actually believe it. I do want to see the fight, you know, because to me, it should be interesting, to tell you honestly. You know, I just want to see how, you know, he fares against Marquez or whatnot. He's, of course, an older, you know, a little bit older boxer. You know what I mean? So
We'll see if he
goes out there against what was my man, the Russian's name, but Ruslan or whatnot. If he goes out there with that type of boxing mentality, you know, is he going to brawl with Marquez or is he going to box? You know, so we'll see how this turns out on October 12th.
That's right, and we will have a preview. Hopefully, Cyclonus will be on the air with us to give us his critique.
Right. True that.
Yeah,
you know.
Let's move on to baseball. Do you have anything else for boxing and MMA?
Nah, that's really about it, my brother. That's really about it. I'm pretty much done. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm pretty much done, dude. You know?
Yeah, you amped for football. I hear it in your voice. You just...
Well, you know what? I mean, I'm kind of hyped. I'm not even going front, man. But you know what? I'm hyped just overall with the show. And everything, to be honest. I really am. So I'm looking forward to having a good show, have good, you know, people join us. Dialogue is everything. You understand what I'm saying? Good dialogue, good conversation. So let's get it, man. I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna move on to baseball. Seems the captain is returned. Derek Jeter is returned from his latest leg injury. He has barely played this season. Due to breaking his ankle in the playoffs last year and then breaking it again during the season. And then he's had, you know, the calf injury that he's had. So he's back. He played last night. He went hitless.
Okay. All right. So what, man? can't get them all, man. You can't. Listen, last time you hit a home run, you know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Give the cat a break.
Do you feel his return, A-Rod's return, Grandison's return, and the resurgence of Soriano coming to the Yankees, can they make a final run at the playoffs? You think they have a shot?
I think they definitely have a shot. They have a very good shot, to be honestly. You know, I mean, having Jeter back, you know, in the clubhouse and on the field, you know, I'm sure with his experience, you know, it's going to just serve to you know, energize that ball club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would feel definitely, and of course with Soriano, you know, swinging a hot bat and whatnot, and having Granderson back, you know, I really believe, and hell, I'll even throw Emmanuel a little love.
Oh, did I call him A-Rod? Excuse me.
You did.
Alex.
You did, by the way. But
we don't
even
refer to him on this show anymore. You know, he's just not that player anymore.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll throw him. Like I said, you know how I feel about that. But I will throw Emmanuel a little love, okay, and say, hey, if he can not, now don't give me, don't get it twisted, folks. You know, I'm talking about a non-roided, a non-PhD'd A-Rod. You know, I'm sure he could still hit a few home runs. You know what I'm saying?
He's been playing well since he came back. He's batting like .280. He's got a nice on base. His on base percentage is nice.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the better defensive third basemen,
exactly,
or even at his advanced age, and he's playing defense well for us. Jeter coming back, like you said, he brings another dimension because he's always been pretty much clutch. You know, he loves the big occasion, and he rises to the top, and usually, you know, he helps the team win. The problem, I believe, is their pitching.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be a problem, you know.
That's going to be a problem.
from the starters on down to the middle relief. Those guys have to step up. I mean, Kuroda's been playing well all year.
Yeah, definitely, you know. He's been very huge. And I got to tell you, not just this year, last year as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been pretty steady since he's arrived here in the Bronx. So,
he's not been the same this year. I think the surgery affected him that he had in the off season. Pettit coming off an injury. You know, Hughes has been. You know, so
I definitely
step up.
Yeah, they gotta definitely step up, you know. But I'm really hoping that the pitching holds up. You know what I'm saying? Hughes, just like you said, sometimes he's up, sometimes he's down. And just in his case only, I really, really believe that the more he pitches away, you know, from Yankee Stadium, the better he'll be, so to speak. Because he's a fly ball pitcher, and of course, you know, Yankee Stadium, you know, damn, fly balls be jumping out of there and into the stands. So, you know what I mean? So if he gets away and pitches, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he might have more success on the road than at the stadium, you know?
Yeah. We got a caller with their hand up. I'm going to bring them in. 9972, last four digits. 9972. State your name and where you calling from. 9972. You had your hand up.
What's up? Now don't mute my man.
Mr. Going one.
B to the U to the S to the H. What's the
going twice? Hello. Your mic is live.
Hello.
Okay. I guess they shot.
He'll come back. He'll come back. It's all good. You know?
Your mic is open 9972, so you can jump in whenever you feel like.
Yeah.
We already know.
Ah, there it is.
Oh,
there it is.
You don't like the sound of my voice, man?
No, I have to apologize. I had to put you on hold for a minute because Coach called me.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Of course.
Coach is at work, and he says he couldn't be in tonight, so he wanted me to ask a question on his behalf.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's take his question.
So
we'll take his question right now.
Well, does it relate to baseball or to football?
When we get to football,
there
I'll,
it is.
Oh, it's football. Okay. We'll take this question when we get to football.
For sure. How you doing, Mr. Bush?
Everything is good. Everything is good. I can't complain.
All right, brother. Good to have you. Everything is good, man. Everything is good, man. Good to have your boy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be
so here. We're talking about the return of Derek Jeter. What do you think that bodes for the Yankees?
I'm not sure what it bodes for Yankees. I think it tells the other team, the opponent, damn, this guy is back already. This guy is back again.
Right.
Other than that, though, the Yankees ran to a buzzsaw with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay always seems to be a buzzsaw for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And lost a bad game last night against Toronto.
Hmm.
But I think they're gonna be in the race for one of the two wild card positions unless Boston doesn't collapse.
Right.
Which they've been known to do on occasion.
Yeah. Yeah. They have.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Have. This happened.
Very
to
true.
I have that's no right. faith in Boston.
Oh, man, I tell you. Reminds me of 78. Nah, I shouldn't go that far.
Yeah, yeah. Bucky Dent.
That's right. You know?
I thought they were going to, you know, we mm-hmm. So it can happen. It can happen. They can be caught.
Well,
if
yeah,
the
listen,
plan is
man.
Mine.
If we've seen. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm wrong about this, about mentioning this team, but I have seen teams, was it Detroit that collapsed like the last week, you know, of the season or whatnot?
The Mets did it 2 years in a row.
The Mets did, yeah, so anything can happen. Anything
yeah,
can happen.
It collapsed, yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? As long as it's mathematically possible, it can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're only 4.5 out of the wild card standings and whatnot. You know, behind Tampa Bay and Oakland, you know, they have to jump over two more teams. That's Cleveland, the Indians, and also the Orioles, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's possible. You know, they're only like 2.5 away from Cleveland and 2 games from Baltimore, you know. So, you know, to pass them or whatnot. So anything can happen. Anything can happen. Still got plenty of baseball left in the season, you know.
And they have, I think they still have 9 games left with Boston.
Is that true? 9 games?
Oh, that's good. Hopefully they can win 7 out of 9.
That's interesting. If it's 9 games, well, you know, like I said, anything can happen.
I have to check that. I could be wrong, but I thought I heard something about 9 games left in Boston.
Wow. You know, if that's true.
It would be something, but
yeah, it would be something.
I have to check
that.
Have y'all discussed the Mets?
No, not yet. We're
not
gonna,
yet, sir.
We almost there. I do want to talk about. I do want to talk about our other favorite baseball player, that being Ryan Braun and his apology. But I want to play a clip.
Okay.
I got a clip. Ryan Braun has issued all types of apologies to Major League Baseball. You know, his teammates, game, the fans, man, he got fired. And here's a clip.
Major League Baseball and its ongoing drug scandal this morning. One of the star players at the center of the newest controversy is now apologizing for his actions. Milwaukee's Ryan Braun, a former league MVP, has finally admitted to using banned substances after being suspended for 65 games. And NBC's Paul Affairs has the story.
He denied.
I would bet my life that this substance never entered my body at any point.
And lied.
If I had done this intentionally or unintentionally, I'd be the first one to step up and say, I did it.
When it came time to confess that he did use those banned substances, Ryan Braun chose to release a statement online. And a lengthy one. Braun posted his nearly 1,000-word missive to the Milwaukee Brewers official website, saying, I have no one to blame but myself. Those who put their necks out for me have been embarrassed by my behavior. I don't have the words to express how sorry I am for that. But for many of those he lied to, it was too little, too late.
I would have preferred to see him actually come out and face the music.
He's already lied to us, so I don't trust him.
Liar and a traitor.
The Milwaukee Brewers outfielder blamed his decision to dope on a, quote, nagging injury during his 2011 MVP season and turned to products for a short period of time. The products were a cream and a lozenge, which I was told could help expedite my rehabilitation. It was a huge mistake for which I am deeply ashamed, and I compounded the situation by not admitting my mistakes immediately.
I think he took the easy way out by releasing a statement. I don't think he's going to get his point across completely until he comes out and faces everybody.
In July, Braun accepted a suspension for 65 games and will be fully reinstated by Major League Baseball next season. But he may strike out when it comes to restoring his once Hall of Fame image.
He is beyond embarrassed and says that he's just now starting the process of trying to comprehend why he responded the way he did. And he said his reality was clouded, but of course, a long ways to go. He said he will never make those same mistakes again.
He did wag his finger, though, when first accused. I agree with Tim Kirchner in the piece. Until he takes questions about it, it's not
Agreed.
Going away. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys speak first. I'm going to clean it up, and I'm going to clean it up well.
Okay, because, clean it up well. Okay, let me start this off real quick, man, if you don't mind, brother.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Let me just say this, because this is really ticking me off. I just posted something in our chat room real quick, a quick statement. You know, first of all, the thing that gets me, a 944-word statement about this, instead of stepping in front of the cameras, taking questions and answering them and looking like you mean your apology, you know, him with the statement crap, that was a real bitch move. A bitch move, you know what I'm saying? They need to, like, strip him of that MVP, and they should give it to Matt Kemp, the man that really deserved it. You understand? That's what I'm going to start off by saying with that. So he to me, he's just a bitch, you know? Too afraid to step out in front of the cameras and face the issue, you know? You know you did wrong. What's the problem? You can't even be classified as a man, because a real man would admit his mistakes in front of the world. You understand?
Yep.
Not write some apology on a piece of paper or put email or whatever, you know?
And have somebody read it.
Clown, man. Real embarrassing, dude. You know? Real embarrassing. You know? So he really pissed me off with that nonsense. Let me tell you something. I have no love for this guy whatsoever. He's a bum. He's a fake. And bottom line is, he's a liar. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Whoa. Very, very intense, R.
I must say,
you though.
The only thing I can add is, said the man that he got fired checked for $200,000, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing. There's really nothing more else I can add to that.
I'm sorry, Rich, if I took some of your words.
It's okay, man. We're on the same page.
Yeah, we are. This is what I'm going to say. You apologize to that man that you got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dino Lorenzi Jr. If I was him, I would not accept his apology. Because you put that man under the bus.
Yep.
It's totally different from when other guys have cheated, you know, A-Rods, the Clemens, the Bonds, the football players who get caught, you know, taking supplements and stuff, and they get suspended.
Mm-hmm.
You affected somebody else, Mr. Braun.
Yeah.
And you say you made a mistake. It's not a mistake. You knowingly took something, knowing it was wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I'm with you. Is no love for him.
No,
he needs to pay that man's salary.
Hell yeah.
But he won't do that, because that would be the honorable thing to do, and to make that wrong into a right. And
yeah, but just like you said, honorable, that word right there, everything he's not. So he won't do that, Max.
No. He's had no honor through this whole situation. He lied the first time. He lied when he, you know, when it broke, when he took his suspension. You know, right. In baseball's, you know, Major League Baseball and the other media outlets, they lauded him. I'm not lauding you. You foul.
Big time.
You, in fact, he's worse than A-Rod.
Okay.
You know, A-Rod is bad.
Say that again, please.
I said he's worse than A-Rod.
Wow.
Well, you know what? Man, let me just, I don't know. He's up there. You know, they like neck and neck, I guess. You know?
Oh, he's definitely worse than A-Rod.
Mm.
You know, he even tried to pull a race card with the man who was collecting his samples. He's
wow.
Only doing this because I'm you know one of those people. I'm like, what?
Oh, Jesus.
You know, we can't say that word because they will affect our show. You know,
freaked
so
out. I'm
going to
say it.
Word. Nope.
I'm saying it.
Nope.
I'm joking.
But,
oh,
you know,
my goodness.
One of those chosen people. And I have no hatred towards those people. But come on, man. You can't. You pulling a race card. You behemently put that man under the bus. Man, go.
Right.
He's lucky I'm not the guy that's handing out suspensions. And you know, they also notice how they try to say he ain't no Hall of Fame player.
Get out of here. Exactly.
That, don't think I didn't hear that. He's
mm-hmm.
good. He's not a Hall of Fame player though.
Yeah, I heard that too. I was like, I don't know about all that. You know?
But he's no hero. He's no hero. He's you're scum. You're worse than pond scum, Braun.
Mm.
And I'm done.
man.
Richard, I heard you.
Uh oh.
What is your gentleman's opinion about the fanfare behind Ichiro Suzuki's celebration at Yankee Stadium about his 4,000th hit?
Okay.
I felt it was like totally unnecessary. I felt it was disrespectful to the Negro Leagues. Because since when does Major League Baseball conjoin other baseball organizations to add their hits and home runs and include their records with Major League Baseball's records?
I like that, Richard. That's a very, very, very good observation right there. I like that.
It was uncalled for.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to recognize the fact he had 4,000 hits in organized baseball, I could say that. But all that fanfare was unnecessary. It's total disrespect to American organized baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Especially including the Negro Leagues.
You know, let me just suggest, you know, that especially with the Negro Leagues, and that's a very, very good point, because I got to tell you, I'll be the first one to admit it, I totally overlooked that, you know, and I was one of the guys that, you know what, I did on our Facebook group, you know, the Real and Sports Talk in the Paint on Facebook, check it out, another show right there.
That's reminding me. I was replying to the comments today, and I came across. I came across my post in that same forum last week.
Yes, sir.
That's what reminded me of it today. I was like,
You know, and like I was saying, I gave props to Ichiro on that. I was like, matter of fact, I think I'm the one that posted that story. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know, congrats on him getting the 4,000 hits, reaching that plateau. You know what I'm saying? But I dig what you're saying. I totally overlooked that. And it is a slap to the Negro Leagues and other organized, you know what I'm saying, leagues in baseball. You know, it is a slap to them.
It's a slap to Latin America. They don't mention their stats at all.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Winter league baseball.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And when he came from Japan to Major League Baseball, didn't he win Rookie of the Year?
He did.
Yes, he did.
So, I mean,
excuse me.
You know, how do you combine his stats with Japan baseball, with Major League Baseball?
Well, that's because they're partners.
Right.
To put it to you.
No, of course. I just don't understand. Like I said, to me, it's just a total slap to Major League Baseball. I mean, look at Josh Gibson. Take Josh Gibson's records. You can take Satchel Paige.
Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, they all played in the
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Keep it going.
That's right. You know? Let me ask you another thing. I'll throw another curve here real quick. Do you think it's the fact, too, that now he's in the mainstream, like with the New York Yankees? Do you think that played a little part in it as well, perhaps?
Possibly. I mean, just to take some of the storyline away from A-Rod, it's possible. I don't believe that's not my problem. I don't have a problem with that. My problem is just a total slap in the face.
No doubt.
My first issue is a total slap in the face of the African-American baseball players who played in the Negro Leagues before they came to the Major Leagues.
Yes,
it would include Ichiro's, celebrate, like you said, Willie Mays, Satchel Paige, Hank Aaron. Celebrate them also.
Jackie Robinson.
Celebrate Josh Gibson. Celebrate the man who never made the Major Leagues, but possibly hit 800 home runs.
Yeah. You know what? I saw a documentary last year on Babe Ruth, and it changed my perception of Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
This is in correlation with where you're going, Richard. Babe Ruth was actually an ambassador. He went to Cuba to play. He went to Japan to play. He played on barnstorming teams. Major League Baseball.
I think I saw some of that documentary also.
Yeah, Major League Baseball didn't appreciate what he was doing. That's why he was blackballed and never got a chance to manage. Babe Ruth wanted to win it. Also, I think Babe Ruth was. I think he had a little bit of black blood in him. You know, we'll never know because he was an orphan and. What's the Ty Cobb told Babe Ruth? He said, you know, when they were traveling on a barnstorm team, they were supposed to room together. He said, I'd never share a room with the, you know, he dropped the N-bomb. So that's a little history. Next week I'll have the name of the I have the name of the documentary. People need to check it out. It just changed my whole perception on what I thought of Babe Ruth and who Babe Ruth was.
Mm-hmm.
And also it changed my perception of Major League Baseball and how they do things. And
I agree with what you're bringing up,
Richard.
What did you say?
No, I said I agree with what the tone you're bringing up
and
I agree with you 100%.
One last thing I want to say, you mentioned barnstorming.
Mm-hmm.
one of my favorite movies, just favorite movies, is Bingo Long and his traveling
yeah.
Motor King.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a great movie.
With traveling All Stars and Motor King. Maybe we should. Maybe if you guys don't mind, maybe we could maybe you guys could do a forum on some of the better sports movies.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
okay,
that's
why not?
A great topic we can do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Very, no doubt.
Yeah. Let's move on to the gory and the bad. It seems the Mets are cursed. Matt Harvey is hurt. He might have to have Tommy John surgery, which we know is horrible for a pitcher. It's like a basketball player or a football player blowing out their knee, you know, and when a pitcher blows out his elbow, it's horror. I mean, this guy throws 97, 98, he gets up in the hundreds with his heater, so, you know. Gary, I was actually at the Met game last night. I got to see Zach Wheeler pitch for the first time.
Okay.
Hey,
yo.
The phone is doing it again.
Damn, what the freak, bro? Seriously? Hold on for a second.
That sounds better. Yeah, Richard, your thoughts on Matt Harvey tearing up his elbow and blowing out his elbow?
Basically, I'm going to repeat pretty much what I said in the post on Facebook. I can't necessarily blame Matt Harvey. I mean, you know, sports players' egos take over, adrenaline takes over. He didn't necessarily feel hurt, pain throughout his elbow and arm. He did mention that he felt a little discomfort. And, you know.
Hey, Richard, let me cut you
yes.
off for 1 second. I hear an echo with your phone, too.
What the hell?
You sound better, R.
Okay. No, thank you.
Do me a favor, fella.
Yeah.
Hang up and call back in.
Okay. All right. No problem. All right. We'll do right now.
Yeah. This is In the Paint with Mac611, Big Brother R, Cyclonus Walker, Tuesday night. It's the realest show in sports. You can check out our YouTube channel. We have selected videos. It's called ITP for Life. You can also check us out on, you can follow us on Twitter at ITP for Life. You can email us inthepaintradio@gmail.com. And I'm going to bring my brothers back in. You're live, Richard.
Okay.
That's much better.
Basically, thank you. Yeah, it does sound better. I just want to say basically that Matt Harvey was just trying to man up, and I guess he felt that he could pitch through it. Like I can't blame him, but I'm going to add that the coaches, trainers,
medical team.
Management, medical team, and the athlete and the player, they have to have an open communication, an honest communication, because this is something that might have been prevented.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your mic is live.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. I was waiting for Richard to finish his thoughts.
Yeah.
Is this something I think that could have this extended disruption of his pitching performances throughout the season and possibly next season could have been prevented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now they say they're swelling on the elbow. They can't really do surgery soon. But I just hope everything bodes well for Matt Hart.
Yep. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I didn't hear most because I was trying to call you back, but I didn't hear what mostly. I think I missed a lot of what Richard had said, but you know, I do get the point that you know you can't really be mad at him. You know, I mean, and I think Richard, you said this like about the manning up type of thing. You know, in which you know players will experience you know a little discomfort. You know, to whatever part of their body is hurting, and they won't say anything. They figured they could pitch their way or perform their way through it, you know. You know, I can't be mad at them for that. But as you just said, and I completely agree with you, that the dialogue needs to be there, you know.
Yes.
And it needs to be honest and truthful. You know, if you're hurting even a little bit, and we're talking about a pitcher, you know, on his throwing arm, his elbow, You gotta go to the trainers. You gotta go to the manager. You have to speak up and let you know these guys know this, you know, so they could diagnose, you know, do the MRI thing and see what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally agree with what you just said, Rich. I tell you that right now, you know.
And it's a shame he might have to change his throwing motion when he comes back because it is rather. He throws violently.
All right. You know? I mean,
you
it's
know.
A damn shame, man. This is, like you said, is this organization cursed? This is, like, a real bright spot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we talked about the Mets, you know what I'm saying?
Solid season.
One of the few bright spots, exactly. Now, you know, is he going to miss the 2014 campaign because of this? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And now
you know
this puts more pressure on Zach Wheeler.
For sure. Big time.
Now he has to step up next year. The guys on the farm who they're going to possibly bring up, they have to step up. Dylan G has to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Nice has to. All these guys who are on the in the rotation, they all have to step up. And, you know, it's the Mets. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully, Matt Harvey can come back. He can be brilliant and be the, you know, he's young, so and with technology, hopefully they can fix his arm and he can come back and be the number one pitcher he was destined to be.
Yeah, that's, I think all Mets fans hope that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That and get him some help, man. When he's batting, you know, when they I watch some of his games.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give him enough offense.
No.
But he has what was it, 12 no decisions?
Yeah, that's because they ain't scoring.
Exactly, it's crazy. Because
I looked at his record, I said, "Damn, he's still stuck on 9 wins."
Yeah, you don't have double digits yet, you know.
With 2 or 4 losses, I believe. I'm like, come on.
Hmm.
Yeah. Let's.
Yeah. Let me see. The game Saturday he pitched against Detroit. I mean, I can't remember. I cannot remember a pitcher in 7 innings giving up 13 hits and only down 2-0.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a shame. What a shame.
Yeah, let's move on to basketball. Former Knick Dean Memminger passed over the week. He's the original Dream.
Hello.
Yeah, Dean Memminger died at 65. Backup point guard for the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great players. I think he had a series against Boston. That was his defining moment.
Mm-hmm.
Defense against JoJo White.
Yep, shut him down. Shut him down.
Man, I remember that series. 1973.
Yep.
72-73 playoff, yep.
Yeah, he was 65 years old. So, you know, I wish him rest in power.
Yes,
condolences
sir.
Go to his family and friends.
I definitely want to share that, you know, sentiment as well. You know, and the guy was, like, one of the best ballers to come out of Marquette. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Legendary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I could use that word. You know what I mean? You know, three varsity seasons for Coach Al McGuire at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he definitely was a big player. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Let's move on. Chris Paul. He was named president of the Players Union. You guys thoughts on that? And with him being the point guard and superstar for the LA Clippers and all the other things that go with being a superstar, will he be effective in getting the players' needs met?
Good question. I'll take this on for a little bit. You know what? You know what? I like Chris Paul. He seems like you know, he's an intelligent young brother. You know what I'm saying? And I think that he'll do his best to look out for the NBA players. You know what I'm saying? So I think this is a good move, good hire. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that he's actually the president of the Players Union. I don't see any negative in that. At least not mine.
Okay. Good points. Richie.
Thank you, sir.
I agree with Big O. I have to close my book. Show this like looking at my notes to anything. I agree with Big Brother R. I don't think he seems to be well spoken, articulate. And he seems to have, with Doc Rivers as his coach, he'll have a better handle of what's going on.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. He's the latest, the last superstar to hold a position was Patrick Ewing. And Patrick Ewing is the president who led us into the first the first lockout.
Right.
And during that lockout, this is some funny trivia for people. Charles Barkley got slapped by Charles Oakley during the lockout meeting. Because we know Barkley has a mouth and Barkley usually goes to his own way. You know, hopefully this won't happen, you know, during these sessions with these younger guys as they all seem to be friends.
Right, true. I don't see that happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Roger Mason Jr. is he's the vice president. He was campaigning to be the president, but, you know, because he'd been holding a position for a minute he was the second vice president under Derek Fisher, so, you know. And they got rid of Billy Hunter. Because Billy Hunter was doing some shadiness.
Well, there you go.
Oh.
There you go.
So we'll
you know what I mean?
We'll see what happens with that. And speaking of the Clippers, there are talks of Antoine Jameson going. Basically, he'll just be going across the hall or to the other side of the stadium because the Clippers and the Lakers share. He was a Laker last year. They share the same stadium. Antoine Jameson might be joining the Clippers. You guys' thoughts on that?
Oh, man. I'm not mad at them. I ain't mad at them. Straight up, that's a hell of a move right there. You know? Again, Max, you know, we talked about this, you know, previously on our page or whatnot. You know, this guy's a veteran, 37 years old, you know, always been a guy that could put the ball in the hoop. You know what I mean? Get those rebounds. You know, he's a professional. you know, mm-hmm. no drama, good for the locker room, you know what I'm saying, on the bench. So this is a solid move, you know, adds depth, even more depth to a team that already has some good depth already, you know, so it's a solid move by the Quips.
Well, let's look at the names on their team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Crawford, Jared Dudley, Willie Green, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Lamar Odom, possibly Chris Paul, J.J. Redick. That's a deep.
That's a deep.
Darren Collison, that's a deep, scary team right there.
I'm telling you, you add this cat to those names you just mentioned, man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And another name, Doc Rivers.
mm-hmm.
I've always liked. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I've always liked. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of y'all make up your mind.
I'll make this quick. It just shows to show you that players of all caliber just don't want to play for Mike D'Antoni.
Hey, I love that. Love it.
Hey.
Oh.
listen.
Awesome.
Antoine comes from he's a North Carolina pedigree. He comes from the North Carolina team in college.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentals. He's a fundamentally sound guy. Always has been. He's not a superstar, but solid, you know. He's averaged 20 points a game before. He's been in an all-star game. He's gotten 10 rebounds a game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots efficiently from the floor. He's somebody they could bring off the bench at either position, you know, power forward mm-hmm. or small forward. Defensively, he's always been sound, and he's a good locker room guy. Like you said, he's never in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Just a solid citizen. And
yeah.
I think he would help them in the locker room and help with leadership in getting Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan to round out their game.
No doubt, man.
You wanted to add something, Richard?
No, I feel that thing.
Okay. Speaking of the Clippers, Lamar Odom, there are rumors that he's on drugs. Your thoughts?
Oh, man. I got to tell you, I just recently learned about this whole ugly development. And you know, I'm very saddened to hear that, you know. I mean, from what I know and from what I hear, you know, Lamar's a good dude. He's not a bad guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's not really a bad guy like that, you know. And for him, I don't know what it is, man. I just hope that he gets himself together, man. You know, I will say this. I don't know, man. That damn show. You know, I'm not going to blame the wife. I'm not going to blame his wife. But that show, being around that type of environment, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to call that into question just a little bit. I'm not saying his wife specifically. I'm saying that whole circus. You know what I'm saying? With the mother and this one and that one. You know, it might have played a little bit into it, man. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, whatever he's going through, man, I just hope he can right his ship and get back to being, you know, even forget about basketball. You know,
just get yourself together.
Yeah, you understand? As a human being, as a man. You know what I'm saying? That's all I care about. You know what I'm saying?
You want to say something, Richard?
It's not the first time he's been down that road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good point. True that.
He's still married to that Kardashian girl, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir. Maybe he and Kanye went out on a weekend or something. Who knows?
Wow.
Maybe him and Kanye went out and, you know, had a good time or something. Who knows? I mean, but there comes a time you gotta put your priorities in order. You know, you gotta watch your dates. You gotta watch your dates, training camp is coming. You know, you're going to have to take a test, you know.
You're 33 years old. You should be getting into shape. I'm gonna say this though. It's I don't think it's the wife and it's the show. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I've seen a episode or two where he's been on the show. Mm-hmm. It's not her. It's some of the circle he's kept from Queens.
Okay.
Also, bear in mind, Lamar had people pass away recently. Know, back to back. You know, this
last year and this year.
He didn't particularly like being in Dallas where he was traded to. He got issues with his father.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot on his plate, and I think it's part of the people he enables. And those people you need to weed out. The people who ain't helping you rise, if they holding you down and they still stuck in that Queensbridge mentality, you need to get rid of them. And she needs to listen to his wife, you know. Get rid of those guys who are hindering you and sponging off of you.
Yeah.
You know. He had an entourage. I think she weeded a lot of them out, but it's that one, two, or three third person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I, like you said, I wish Lamar the best. You know, he's one of my favorite players to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The dude is talented. There is nobody currently in the NBA like him. 6'10". He can handle the ball like a point guard. He can post up. He can shoot the three. He rebounds. You know, he drops shots. It's not too many guys that do what he does. Maybe LeBron, and LeBron is better at it because LeBron is, you know, LeBron.
Right.
So we wish him luck. Let's go into the commercial break and let's talk Smash Mouth football. It's back.
Hey, before you go to commercial break, brother, let me just say this real quick, if you don't mind. Right, I appreciate that. Listen, I want to thank everybody out there, you know, who supports us. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate that. You know, listen, hit us up on, you know, In the Paint, Real and Sports Talk, you know what I'm saying, Facebook, you know, check out a YouTube page, IPP for Life, you know what I mean? Twitter, you know, ITP for Life again on Twitter. You
follow.
Know what I'm saying?
Subscribe follow, to the YouTube
you know?
Channel.
Exactly. You know
email
what I mean?
Us. Twitter,
email us, exactly, inthepaintradio@gmail.com. Also, guys, like I said, I just want to really thank everyone who has, you know, either listened to us live or through the archives, you know, who has participated in every form that we are in. Like with social media, I want to thank y'all, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we want to keep up the good job for you guys and hopefully you continue to support and enjoy us.
Yep. And, Richard, we're gonna mute your mic. As me and R, we're gonna go through the AFC division and we'll be back in a minute.
If you are a high school senior with drive, determination, and discipline to attend college, then Uprising Stars, Inc. can help you achieve your dream. Apply now for the Philip Dorsey Scholarship Award, and you could become the next recipient. We award scholarships to deserving high school students, and you could be one of them. Visit us at UprisingStarsInc.org and download your application today. Send all donations to Uprising Stars, Inc., P.O. Box 2403, Elizabeth, New Jersey, 07207. And remember, Uprising Stars, Inc. can help make your dream become a reality.
You realize what time it is?
What time is it, Joe?
It's time for the Cassandra Calloway Show Live!
And that's right, my name's Cassandra Calloway, and you're listening to Calliewood on blogtalkradio.com.
CaliWayShow.com. You can catch Caliwood After Dark each and every Friday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. and Caliwood Live on BlogTalkRadio.com from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. each and every Saturday. If you want to call in, the call-in number is 347-637-3016. If you want to be an artist or guest on Caliwood, call 323-302-2981 or email us at CaliwoodMedia2009@gmail.com. This is how we do it. Hey! You determine. And I've recognized you're an official Caliwoodite. Welcome to the Caliwood Nation. Hey! Caliwood out!
Events should be memorable, stylish, unique, elegant, flamboyant. Focus on diva. Hire Focus on Divas as your next event coordinating, decorating, and creative solutions business. We proudly serve both domestic and international clientele. Focus on Divas' vision goes far beyond the color scheme. We focus our attention to every detail of your needs while adding both glamour and pizzazz. Some of our coordinating and decorating services include weddings, theme parties, dinners, birthday parties, corporate events, church events, and much, much more. Let us take your next event beyond your wildest imagination. Call today for your free consultation. 347-658-7569. That's 347-658-7569. Or check us on the web at www.focusondivas.com. That's www.focusondivas.com. Focus on Divas, an eye for style.
Tune in every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Raven Brief Live, coming to you from New York City, the home of the hard truth. Also, check out our website at theravenbrief.org.
Yeah, we're back. It's In the Paint, the realest show in sports. Max 611, Big Brother R, Cyclonus Walker. The call-in number is 347-426-3634. We're going to do it something. We're going to do something a little different this week. We're going to do our AFC preview, and it's just going to be me and R doing the first part, and then we're going to bring our callers in.
Oh,
R,
boy.
What up, fam?
What's
up, my
man?
You ready?
About as ready as I can be. Shit. Yep.
Let's kick it off. AFC West, which consists of the Denver Broncos, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Oakland Raiders, and the San Diego Chargers. I'm gonna let you call it on the AFC West first.
Well, let me tell you something. Like I said, we got Denver. You know, let me tell you something. I'm gonna keep it real with you in a minute, man. The two teams that I see at the top, I'm not even gonna front, is obviously the Denver Broncos and also the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, let me touch on the Chiefs for a hot minute. The Chiefs, they finished last year at 2-14, but what's different? What's different is the fact that we now have a coach formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles, that being Mr. Andy Reid. You know, he's now at the helm. And also they brought in Mr. Alex Smith, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers. He
at
is
QB.
Now going, yeah, exactly, at QB. You understand? So I think, saying honestly, I really think They made some changes to the draft, you know what I'm saying? They've improved a little bit. Now, is it going to be are they a Super Bowl contender? I don't think so. You understand? But they will improve. I don't think they're going to finish 2-14 this year.
Okay.
That's for sure. So I think they'll probably finish at number two in that division. But at number one, I believe Denver Broncos are going to, again, be the divisional winners. In the West,
yeah.
You know, I mean, my thing is, there's two things that there's something that concerns me, though. I will say that on checking up, you know, yeah, they've added Wes Welker and maybe, and, you know, Monty Ball running back, cornerback Dominique Rogers Cromartie. But here's the thing.
Oh man.
Elvis Dumervil.
Dumervil.
Yeah, that's one guy. And another guy.
They're going to miss him.
Not only are they going to miss him, they're going to miss another guy for the first, first six games of the season for violating the NFL's drug abuse policy is Von Miller. You understand? Now, do you realize out of those two guys, we're talking about 29.5 sacks, and they had a league-leading 52 sacks last season. 29.5 of those were between those two guys.
Yeah.
That concerns me a little bit.
that would concern me a lot.
yeah. That's my one concern with the defense and whatnot. So, you know, they'll make the playoffs. Cause I'm not gonna discount Peyton. I'm not gonna discount Wes Welker. You know what I'm saying? But and the rest of the offense. But that with Vaughn and Elvis not there. Well, Vaughn at least for not the first six games. You know, and Elvis going to Baltimore. I don't know, man. I don't know. Could be a very rough six first games. They might win. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're going to be, 0-6, but could be very, very interesting, to say the least.
Still competing, Manny.
No. That's what I'm saying. I'm not discounting him. I ain't discounting him. He's a man. I ain't going front.
You didn't mention San Diego and Oakland. What?
Well, okay, I'm about to get into that. Hold on. There's a reason for that.
I know why.
You know what I'm saying? There's a reason for that. I mean, San Diego, I've never really been too impressed with, to tell you the truth. The one thing I will say is that outside linebacker Dwight Freeney has looked somewhat better so far this preseason. That's a guy that's a new face on San Diego, you know. But like I said, I haven't really been too impressed. I'm not impressed with my what's the quarterback name again?
Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, he's never really impressed me, so I'm just like, you know, to me, they're going to be mediocre again, you know, 7-9, 8-8, one of them type of years, unless they surprise the hell out of me, but I really don't think so, you know, I really don't think so. Oakland, all I have to say is this, if you're Oakland Raider organization, can you really be optimistic about Matt Flynn and Terrell Pryor fighting for the starting job?
Hey, yo, those are some big names right there. Real.
That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't want to take too much time. If I want people to chime in, you know, with their own opinions and whatnot. But go ahead,
Between them, they have maybe three or four starts.
Right.
I'm going to start at the bottom. Raiders are coming in last. You pretty much said what you said about them, so I don't need to say any more about them. Matt Flynn is their quarterback, for God's sake. Only person of note on their team, and I like him, maybe his contract can end and he can get off that team and go to a winning team, that being Darren McFadden. You know, they didn't really do anything free agent wise. They didn't pick up anybody.
No.
You know, I
don't think they can. I think most of as far as Oakland, I don't think they can because most of their money's tied up and whatnot. You know, now after this year, they'll have money.
Yeah, well, this year they have $50 million in dead money. You know, it's
right.
So they, you know, maybe, you know, they're in a flux because, you know, the owner died, Mr. Davis, a couple years ago. He died. And now, you know, they're run by somebody else, and we'll you know, they hopefully they get it right, you know. They have the right running back. They have nothing else on their team.
Right.
I said we started at the bottom.
Yes, you did.
you mentioned Phillip Rivers. I've never been impressed with him either. I mean, he's been very good for fantasy football.
Yeah, exactly.
Up until the end of the season, when you need him to get a win and he folds.
Well, there you go.
He folds like a chair at the end.
Right.
And you know what? Over the years, San Diego has stripped him of talent. You know, they had Darren Sproles. They had the other running back. You know, they had Goodson. You know, Matthews, they drafted him to be the number one running back. He's like the Marcus Camby of football. He's always dinged up and on the sideline.
The Marcus Camby of football, wow.
Yeah, Mr. Glass. So, you know, Antonio Gates is not the Antonio Gates of five, six years ago.
Exactly.
Where he would catch 80 to 90 balls and have 10 to 12 touchdowns. He's not around anymore. He's you know, he's older. Phillip Rivers is going to be 31 at the, you know, once he, well, he is 31 going on 32. So there's not much time left for him. They're going to come in third. And I agree with you about second and first.
Yeah.
I'm not a Alex Smith doubter, but I'm not a fan of his either. He's a game manager. It is what it is. They do have a good running back. They do have some good receivers. You know, and Jamal Charles is the running back. He had 1,500 yards last year. Dwayne Bowe is their main wide receiver, and you know they got Andy Reid, so the defense will step up and be better this year. Offensively, I would like to see Andy Reid let Alex Smith open it up a little and let him show off his arm. You know, he has his receivers and he has a good running back, so. They'll come in second. They'll challenge for a wild card spot. Probably lose in the first round if they make the playoffs.
Right.
And I agree with you about Denver. You know, Wes, you got Wes Welker to pair with Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. And you got Nashawn Moreno, Ronnie Hillman as your running backs, and you got Peyton Manning. So they'll always be in games. And like you said, losing the two defensive stalwarts, losing them, losing Elvis Dumerville and the other guy, Von Miller for the beginning of the season, that's gonna hurt. So Denver will be number one in the West. They'll be number one in the West. Let's move on to the AFC South.
You stupid, son.
And the South, I think the South, the AFC South, and the AFC parts of the AFC East are the worst. Those are two of the worst divisions in football.
You think so? Yeah, you might be right. you just could be right, kid. You know what I mean?
At the top, we got the four teams in the AFC South. Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Tennessee. You go ahead, brother.
Okay. Basically, it's a it's pretty much a two-team division. You know, I'm going to say between out of Indiana and Houston, I'm going to go with Houston. Houston, I think, will take their third straight South title, you know, the AFC title for the third time. Indianapolis will be there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think Indianapolis will definitely be there at second. Finishing third. Wow. Finished at third. I'm going to have to say, yeah, the hell with it. I'll just take the Tennessee Titans, and finishing fourth will be Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm going to do it like that. The reason I just do it like that, you know, I just want to speed up the process to get other people involved in this. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, fine. Then I won't.
Here's my take. Jacksonville will be in last because they got a bum quarterback. I'm not feeling Blaine.
Gabbert.
I'm not feeling him. And they have some. You know, Maurice Jones-Drew is getting older. He's 28. He's been in the league for 8 years. I don't see him getting better. I see he's had a lot of wear and tear. He had the Lance Frank injury. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing on Jackson. There's a lot of they another team like Oakland. They in a flux. They got new ownership, new GM, new everything, new coach.
Right.
Blaine doesn't impress me. They need to either draft a quarterback or sign a free agent next year and not go through what they've been going through with him. You know, they lame duck. Tennessee will come in third just based on having Chris Johnson as their running back.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Houston is going to come in second this year.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sucker. Wow. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah. I like Indianapolis. I like Andrew Luck. He needs to work on ball control. He had a lot of fumbles and interceptions last year. He has good receivers. T.Y. Hilton is a receiver on the rise. They picked up Ahmad Bradshaw, so their running game will be solid.
Right, and he's also a good blocking back as well. So.
Yeah,
Also,
you know, Reggie Wayne is due for 100 balls, 1,200 yards, and
is he still playing?
Yeah, he's still playing, of course, man. So I pick Indianapolis to take the AFC South.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. I gotta switch it up a little, brother.
No doubt. I feel you. I'm sticking to the tried and true, brother. I'll give it to the analysis a little bit later in the broadcast. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
My favorite division in the AFC is the AFC North. Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals, Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
This back in the day, this used to be the old, you know, the AFC Central.
Right.
Which is now AFC North. I like this division. I'm gonna let you go. Who do you like?
Well, you know what? I'm going to try your format of the top to bottom and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go from that. I'm going to go from there on that, man. top to bottom, I'm going to tell you right now. Right now, the way it looks at the bottom, of course, even though I do like the team and whatnot, you know, but I just think they have a little bit more growing to do. The Cleveland Browns going to finish fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up at third, I do believe will be now coming up at third. I hate to even say it. I hate to say it, but in a surprise move, I think the Ravens are going to be third.
The Ravens, really?
I said the Ravens. Yeah, that's what I said. The Ravens, the Super Bowl okay. champions, are finishing third. That's what I said. That's right. That's right.
Okay. Okay.
You know what
okay.
I'm saying? Finishing okay. second in the North is going to be Cincinnati, and finishing at number one is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, let me just
really?
Say something real quick. Yeah. Huh? What?
Really? Go ahead. I'm with
really?
You, brother.
Now, let me just say something about my choice of Baltimore at third. It's going to be a tight race between them and Cincinnati. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
But I really think it's going to be close, and I think that Cincinnati is going to have a little bit of an edge and actually,
mm-hmm.
you know, finish ahead of them by a game or so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm
going to
kick it off. Cleveland's coming in last.
Mm-hmm.
They're a young team. They, like you said, they need something to grow on.
Mm-hmm.
I do like their running back. I like Trent Richardson. I like
Yeah.
I like Montario Hardesty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Brandon
okay.
Weeden is old. He's an old young guy. You know,
he
played baseball for a while before going back to football. He's 30 years
right.
old. He's got
right.
a big arm, but
mm-hmm.
their receivers are a little eh.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Gordon
yeah.
and Greg Little.
Yeah.
almost as bad as the Jets receivers. But we're going to talk about them later. But I'm not feeling their receiving core.
Right.
You know, they need something. They need, I like the running
mm-hmm.
back. Trent Richardson is a solid number one
For
running
sure.
back.
For sure.
They need a better receiving core, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they need a lot. So they're coming in last.
Mm.
Third, picking Pittsburgh.
What?
And you know Pittsburgh, you know I love my New York teams. Pittsburgh is my team that I like, you know, since I was a kid, because back when I was a kid, the Giants and the Jets sucked. So you either like the Steelers or the Cowboys.
I feel you. Mm-hmm.
So I've always had an affinity for the Steelers, and I love the way they run their organization. But I
exactly.
think they're getting a little long in the tooth at quarterback,
mm-hmm.
a little long in the tooth in the secondary, and all across their defense. Those guys are getting older, and guys are retiring, and guys are leaving. So.
Hmm.
I think they, you know, Ben is getting older. It's not the Ben before that used to make plays and
mm-hmm.
extend drives just because he was so tough to bring down.
Mm-hmm.
He now just, yo, I'm throwing the ball away. Throw it out of bounds. I'm trying to run nowhere.
Okay.
You know,
wow.
he doesn't do that anymore. So, The heart of their defense, Palomulo is 32 years old as well. They're both 32 years old. He's
mm-hmm.
had a lot. He's had some concussions. Last year, his legs were dinged up. He's not the same play anymore. Pittsburgh also, they lost one of my favorite players. He's gone from their team. What's the linebacker's name?
Harrison?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's
okay.
gone, so I'm picking them to be third. I pick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's nothing wrong with that.
Baltimore's coming in second.
Okay.
they gave Joe Flacco a boatload of money, but then they lost Anquan Boldin. And
right.
Pitta is hurt. You know, Trey Smith is a good receiver. I don't think he's a number one receiver, though. He's still young.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a deep threat. You know, everything is going to, now the focus is going to be on Ray Rice. He's going to run the ball a lot. They're going to pass the ball to him. And Joe Flacco has to justify that contract.
Yep.
That he signed, that big contract he signed. Baltimore lost Ed Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Lost Ray Lewis. They picked up Elvis Dumaville, which was good. They also lost Ellaby at linebacker,
right.
And they lost Paul Kruger. So
right,
and they lost Bernard Pollitt, another safety. So their defense won't be as good as it once was. I think Dumaville will do what he does. He'll get double figure sacks, but the rest of the defense has to step up.
So you sure you don't want to change your pick?
I don't know. Oh, they come in a second.
Okay.
It's the Cincinnati Bengals' time.
Mhm.
So I think Cincinnati is gonna get a AFC North title.
Okay.
And they'll be in the playoffs.
Uh huh.
You know, it's a lot to like. I like their coach. You know, Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
What's their coach's name?
Marvin
Lewis is a excellent coach.
Uh-huh.
Andy Dalton is ready to step up. AJ Green is one of the best receivers in the AFC.
I agree.
And they got the law firm. And they got the law firm, Ben Jarvis Ellis. So, So they're gonna step up. Let's move to the AFC East, your favorite division,
Exactly.
And I'm gonna let you start a call as we see you. We're gonna bring you in right after we review.
East. Let's make this quick so we get some analysis if you don't mind. Okay, in the East, you know what? I'm just gonna call it for what it is. New England, baby. New England. There's no that's number one. they number one. You know what I'm saying? Number two. I'm tempted to give it to Buffalo. I'm tempted. You know, but who else we got there? I know the Jets coming last.
Jets.
But who else? Miami and Jets. Okay, you know what? I kind of see a dogfight, believe it or not, with Miami and Buffalo. You know,
okay.
This is like one of the weakest divisions, but I can actually see a dogfight between Miami and Buffalo. You know, they've both made, significant upgrades or whatnot. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Made some additions, so I can see that. And last but not least, bring up the rear, J-E-T-S, Jets.
All right. Here's my prediction. And the Jets are coming in last. Miami's coming in third. Buffalo's coming in second. And New England is going to come in first. And we're going to bring in the callers.
Let's go.
When I say your last four digits, state your name and where you're calling from. And please, when we do this talk, please bear in mind, let everybody get what they're trying to say out, and we'll bring you in. 9972, state your name, where you calling from.
Richie Bush.
Okay. 3666, state your name and where you calling from.
Hello, y'all hear me?
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah. Hey. Hold on a second, Cyclonus. 3704, state your name and where you calling from.
It's Holler from Brooklyn.
All right, we are talking about the AFC in the NFL, and Cyclonus, you started off.
I hate to say this. I'm number one. I have to go with the dreaded cheetah team of the Patriots.
Here we go.
I'm going to say Buffalo.
Dolphins, I have no faith in the Dolphins. And I'm not going to say the Jets. I'm going to say the Kings Bay Pee Wee football team because they're better than the Jets. Jets suck. So, that's my prediction.
Wow.
Go ahead, Richard.
How about this? You can go to each division or what?
However, you be quick about it.
Yeah.
Okay, who do you like in AFC?
The AFC East. Well, you got no choice but to go with New England on top. I feel it's gonna be a dog fight with the other three teams.
Yes.
Regarding the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jets. If Max Sims doesn't make the team, I'm going to be hurt. Because I watched a couple of I did see the second half of two of the preseason games. Matt Sims has an arm.
Yeah, he does.
He likes to throw the out passes to the sidelines, and he guns them in there.
Hmm.
So, if Sanchez fails and Geno Smith fails, I'm going to be rooting for Matt Sims.
There you go. I ain't mad at you.
Bill's fun.
Yeah, Sims, I'm rooting for Pedigree. In the, okay, jump it to the AFC South. I'm going to agree with,
he
was Big Brother. I'm going with Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Number
that
one.
Was
me.
You got a
oh, yeah, that was Mac. That was Mac right there.
That was Mac?
I was Mac.
I'm going to go with Lamar Bradshaw.
Uh-huh.
You got Matt Hasselbeck. You got backup quarterback. You got Darius Heyward Bay. I don't know about Houston. I'm not too sure about that Sharp.
Okay.
Tennessee and Jacksonville, I'm not too sure about them. I think it's going to be a dog fight with them. AFC North.
Uh-huh.
Baltimore, they got, was it Dallas? They got Dallas Clark, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they also got Chris Canty.
Hmm. Yeah, they did pick up Chris Canty.
Interesting pickups.
Hmm.
It's going to be interesting. That's going to be a black and blue division. I'm not ready to anoint it to assist any Bengals yet, but this is going to be a good year for Andy Dalton. Pittsburgh's going to be coming back. I would pick Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I would pick Pittsburgh as number one.
Yeah.
Mm.
Going to the AFC West. Does Jamarcus Russell have any ownership claims on Oakland? I mean, he's sure with all the money. All the money he's getting. Other than that, Kansas City may upgrade to a 500 season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other than that, Denver will be on top.
Yes, sir.
I watched the game Saturday. They were on TV Saturday, and Peyton Manning himself said that the other guys on the team will have to pick up the slack for the loss of Vaughn and Cooperville.
Yeah.
And it took Peyton Manning about six games. I think it was 3-3 after the first six games before he received actually got the same after they got on the same line on the same page as he said. So once him and Russ Walker come into line with those other two receivers, it's gonna be a runaway for them. Phillip Rivers, I think, is on his way downhill. I mean, there was a reason why the Giants traded him for Eli.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, right.
He would have never survived in New York.
No, Philip Rivers, no, he, no, he definitely would not have. San Diego, don't they have a new coach this year?
Yep.
Oh, in San Diego? Yes, they do.
San Diego has a new coach this year. I don't think they're going to make much noise.
Right.
Getting back to the Jets, Coach
yep.
had wanted me to ask if you gentlemen thought, under the NFL rules, should there have been a late hit on Mark Sanchez?
Was it a late hit?
The hit where he, you know, got hit on his shoulder.
Right. You know,
I didn't see it either.
Yeah, I didn't see it because I was – yeah, I didn't see that game. I'm sorry. You know?
No, because I didn't – matter of fact, when he got hit, I think that was when I had turned my TV on the job about 2 minutes right after that. But there
right.
should have been a penalty on Ryan for putting him in the game like that, though.
Huh. World. I agree. Second or third stringer, seriously, dude? Come on, man. You should know better.
Yeah, you're going to start the second stringer and, you know, if you're going to play my guy, play him like a second, you know, play him in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who is it? Matt Ryan? I meant Sanchez. I keep
right.
calling him son. But I'm just going to repeat. The quarterback for the Jets future is Matt Sims.
Okay.
You heard it first. Oh, man,
Mr.
Butch. Matt Sims, quarterback of the future for New York Jets.
Wow.
I'm done, gentlemen.
Okay. Where's my man? Has he got any predictions? The Big H, what's up?
Yo, what's up?
What's up, brother?
Not much.
Anything you want to add to that, my man?
No, he pretty much picked it the way I would have, actually.
Okay.
I know y'all were just talking about the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did the whole AFC.
The whole AFC,
Before you call.
Oh, okay. But, pretty much like an AFC East, you know, New England, whatever.
Well, you know New England will lie, cheat, and steal and kill your mother to win.
Yeah.
Literally.
I mean, AFC North, you already know who I'm going for. Steelers.
Who are you going for? I don't know. Who are you going for?
Steelers.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
In the South, I think I'm going to go with what Mark picked.
Indianapolis, I say? Yeah, for sure. Don't get me wrong. It's not that. Listen, I think they're talented, man. I just don't think it's their year yet. I think next year they'll be saying something, you know, but I still think that the Texans, you know, they still got something to prove, man. You know what I'm saying? You got Defensive Player of the Year, what's his name, J.J. Watt.
Yeah, 20 and a half.
You know what I'm saying?
Last year.
You know what I mean? I mean,
I just can't pick a Texan team. I'm sorry. Just,
okay.
I just
no
can't.
Problem.
The words can't come out of my mouth.
I feel you.
Why
so
you don't like
standing.
Scaling heads? All right, redneck coaching up and the stuff that goes with it.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
It's all good, brother.
I just can't
yeah.
do it.
You guys
what
don't
about,
think Baltimore will be good this year?
We'll see. They gutted the team.
See, thank you. See, and let me tell you something. First of all, and I've always said this, and you know, I've always said this, it's difficult to repeat as a Super Bowl champion. You understand?
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's not easy. You understand? That's one. Two, you're talking about loss of leadership in Red Ray and also Ed Reed. You understand? Those are leaders on that team. I think that's going to play a part.
They lost six guys on their defense who were
yeah.
all like
well, yeah.
studs.
Exactly. So I think that's going to affect them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the West,
I don't know if y'all know my history with the Kansas City Chiefs, but I will never pick the Kansas City Chiefs for anything because they cost me $2,000.
Wow.
Stop gambling.
The only thing they had to do was take the snap and fall down.
Oh,
no,
man.
They knew you better in the game. Why would they do it? Stop gambling.
No, he didn't bet on them. He didn't bet on them. It's a what was it? A
pool.
Pool.
Yeah.
It was a pool.
Yeah. Wow.
Them and the Chargers. Them and the Chargers have cost me money.
How many years ago was that?
I don't know, but it still stings.
Wow, that far. So you talking about the team with Christian Okoye? And a couple other dudes?
Nigerian Nightmare.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was the Nigerian Nightmare years.
Oh, my God.
It was
God.
A nightmare
you're
for
brother.
Me.
You're my brother. I feel for you.
Man.
But, you know, I'm not condoning betting, people, you know, whoever's listening, because I know the NSA is involved with everything. I don't condone on betting.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if you had to bet... The two teams that always did good for me was the Steelers and the Giants. So,
yeah.
The Giants.
Even if they lost, they usually covered.
Right.
Giants are clutch. The Giants are clutch. But I think the Steelers, they much like they need to revamp the team on defense. And Ben is getting older.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Let me just say this in regards to Pittsburgh, man. You know, I think injuries played a large part. That's why they finished 8-8. You know,
yeah.
I think they're going to have something to prove. And let's not discount that my man, the coach, Mike Tomlin, he's one of the better coaches in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to make the proper adjustments, and I think they'll still be on top. I really believe they'll come out on top, man. Since he's right there, too, don't get me wrong, man. And I think it's only a matter of time where they'll actually, you know, overtake Pittsburgh as the dominant team in that division. But I don't think it's their time this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I want to ask.
That's the defensive culture too. They're gonna be good in defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Always. I want to ask the panel. You know, the Jets. Being the Jets, you know, we know Mark Sanchez is a bum. He's a backup.
The whole team is bums.
Relax.
The whole team, not one person. The whole team
was. You know, Geno Smith is not ready to be a starter. You know, just by watching him in the preseason. You know, they don't have many receivers. Name them. Y'all can't. I know.
What's your point?
Is it the GM has been making waves now. If you are incoming GM and you have a coach already there, it's obvious some guys want their own guy. Why didn't he just fire Ryan?
Because Ryan is the wheel that's driving the media circus around the Jets. Without him, nobody would care. They can't win, so they need a cartoon character. He fits the bill. That's it.
Good point.
It's a do you think
of that, and there was nobody else out there that suggested that they wanted.
Yeah. And
another one. Another good point as well. You know what? Let me just say this real quick. I'm going to take off a couple of seconds real quick. The thing that bothers me... And I said this about this guy, what's his name, John Idzik. I'm not impressed with him, haven't been from giddy up. You understand? All you are good for is, what is it, salary cap management? I don't care about that. What I care about is your decisions on player personnel. You understand? And judging talent. You understand? I don't care about no numbers cruncher. I don't give a damn. As soon as I started hiring, I was like, this team is going effing nowhere. You know, nowhere.
Huh?
You understand?
The New York tax write-offs.
Thank you, brother.
Also, when did GMs tell coaches who to play. You know, you got to play this guy.
That's the hit. Oh, well.
If the coach is a loser, anybody can tell him what to do. Rex is a loser.
Rex is on a short leash. Really?
Unless the Jets win the Super Bowl, Rex is out of there.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what the problem is? It's a lot of teams that the ownership and just the city itself has a football culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I really don't feel that New York qualifies. And I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about in terms of management and ownership.
Yes.
They just have a football culture. I think that they don't take it serious.
You mean the Jets?
Well, yeah. Of course, you know, the Giants is a different story.
You're right. Yes, sir.
But for the Jets, man, please, they don't take it serious.
No.
It's just a football team that they have ownership of, and, you know, it's something that they can use to write off because they know they're not going to be any good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they don't take it seriously, like in terms of having a real competitive football team going for the championship. They just, you know, whatever.
Pretty much.
If we make it, we do. If we don't, at least we have something we can use to write off.
Exactly.
Well, what I told like you about coaching and losing, you
the Giants,
stop.
You know, they want to be competitive. They want to compete. They want to win. And the bar is winning. The bar is the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff Super Bowl, you know what I mean?
Yes,
that's
sir.
Like a big deal if you don't get to the playoffs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, for the Jets, no problem.
No problem.
Nobody seems to have their feelings hurt if they don't make it to the playoffs.
Like
no.
I said,
go ahead.
Jets are a culture of losing.
If you stadium, no problem.
They'll change. Fans got to stop supporting them. We got to go cold turkey on the Jets. Stop going to the game. Stop watching their broadcast. Things will change.
Like, yeah.
People keep making them a multi-billion-dollar team and they suck. Why change?
Fireman Ed retired. He retired last year.
Put that man on suicide watch. He wasted his life.
How much money do you think
he's... A Clippers fan from what? From 1970 to about 2005 or Jets fan?
Sad.
How much money
Sad.
Do you think Fireman Ed has spent in the past 30 years on the Jets?
I'm sure he doesn't want to think about it because it's a lot. If you spend $3 on the Jets, it's a lot. That man spent thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars going to games. What a waste. He could have fed people.
Yeah, man. And let me just say this, too. This is, you know, maybe it's not so much football, but it's I don't know. This guy, Rex Ryan, is it me or is this whole thing with this Sanchez tattoo with his wife? Am I crazy for thinking? I'm like, this is why I'm sick of this mother freaker. I really am sick of him. It's time for him to go. It's time for him to go. No
Speaking
one cares
of people
about
that
his,
need to go.
He needs to go. Nobody cares about your stupid-ass tattoo. I just can't anymore. And I know it's such a small thing, but when I saw this, this bothered me so much. You know, it's like, you know, when you're growing up and you're seeing the cartoons and whatnot, like Bugs Bunny, you remember he would stack up a whole bunch of stuff and he would take the feather and put it on top. This is what it's like with this guy, you know? It's so much shit with him, and this is like the final straw. I'm done with this guy. I hope he gets... I know it's not the Jets' policy to fire, like, in season. I hope he gets the axe after 5 or 6 games. I'm sick of this motherfucker. I'm tired of him.
Yo, can I ask y'all a question?
Go ahead.
Yo,
go ahead.
Just to build on that vibe. Who is Tim Tebow related to?
Okay, let me break it down. He's a young man in his prime. He's trying. He will be given every opportunity to excel, if you get my meaning.
I mean, I was watching ESPN, and it was almost like watching, you know, like public assistance or welfare. What the fuck? It's like, well, we got to find some way to fit him somehow. He can't. Mm-hmm. He's not good in any one position. But we need to. He needs to be on this team. Like, why?
Well, he, much like Rex Ryan, he sells tickets with his mere presence. The thing is, he looks the part. He looks like a football player. He sucks.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Nobody.
This guy, is like the Howie Mandel of the NFL.
Well, Howie, Howie did have a couple of funny comedy bits. Tebow has nothing.
It's like
nobody
they keep him working.
Nobody set Tebow down and told him, listen, you are not a quarterback. You know, there's 11-year-old girls that throw tighter spirals than he does.
Tebow is like, he's like an actress. He's like a pretty chick. They put in movies because she's pretty, but she can't act. That's Tebow.
Jennifer Aniston, Halle Berry.
They're better actresses than he is. Suzanne Summers.
How about Scarlett
Johansson?
No, don't ever disagree Suzanne Summers. Never did Suzanne Summers again.
But how about Scarlett Johansson?
Now, Scarlett Johansson is good.
She's good? Okay.
Okay, he's Carmen Electra in anything. That's
yeah.
Who he is.
Yeah, that's more accurate.
He said that a little.
Okay.
Well, he currently, you know, Belichick is on the bubble on cutting him. He made the cut now. He got a week to go.
Now, did Belichick, did he
for
want
the last
Tebow
cut.
There, or did the ownership want Tebow there?
He did initially.
You know, Belichick is psychological warfare. He probably wants him.
But then when...
Belichick probably said it can't be as bad as everybody's saying.
What happened was he found out what gave him the cold feet was when he tried to run the team as a second quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, oh shit.
Right. Right.
What have I done?
Even Belichick,
right.
Even Belichick cheating can't help Tebow.
No.
Yeah.
But they gotta keep him working. They gotta keep him working.
Yeah. That's right. Sell some more jerseys and whatnot, you know?
Yeah.
But
since
any
I got
fan, anyway, hold up. Any fan that's wearing a Tim Tebow jersey, I want to slap you. Please come down. I want to slap you. The hell are you
doing? Since I got everybody on the line, I wanted to ask y'all, how do y'all feel about the new way they have guys tackling? They don't want them tackling up high anymore and using the crowns. They don't want running backs to protect themselves when they run through the hole and lower their shoulders and their head. They want them to stand upright.
All right.
And guys are now tackling people low. As you saw with Dustin Keller, Miami Dolphins tight end, he had his knee blown out because the dude hit him low. How do y'all feel about the new rule?
So you mean the new rule to change football?
Yeah.
Yep.
I wonder who came up with that rule.
A guy that never played football. Well, if a guy gets a brain injury, a football player can sue. If you get your knee destroyed, you can't sue. In the end, that's why. Money. It's all about money.
Well, you know what? Excuse my language, but basically, I don't really care anymore. They're pussifying the game. You understand?
Yeah.
Pussified. You understand?
But the key thing is these decisions are being made by people who never played the game.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. A bunch of pussies.
Because only a person that never played the game would come up with something that fucking stupid.
Exactly. Well, you got that. And what's the other rule during the Pro Bowl? They don't have the kickoffs anymore? Seriously? You don't have the kickoffs, which, in my opinion, was one of the most exciting plays in football when you see a guy return a kickoff for a touchdown.
Yeah, hence the reason why they got rid of it.
Right, yeah.
They're talking about getting rid of it for the whole season.
Look at that.
So changing football, and only the people who are morons. It's just like, you know, when they decided to, cork the bats and bring in the fences because, we need home runs.
Yeah.
You know, only people who don't know shit about the game make these decisions.
Oh, man.
The Mike Lupicas of the world.
No, no, don't call him by his government. Call him the accountant.
The accountant.
That's what he should be doing.
And he probably sucks at that too.
Because he's horrible at what he's been doing, sports, and now he also writes on politics now. He's horrible at both.
Has he changed his picture yet?
No.
Probably not. Like I said, probably not.
No, he still got the same, he looked like a shiesty accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Little Mikey. But yeah, that rule is, you now telling football players they can't run a certain way, what they've been taught since they were kids playing the game.
Right.
They can't, certain guys can't protect themselves, and now you got guys diving at people's knees. A lot of ACL.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Can't tackle no more. Running backs can't lower their heads when they run into the line.
Just show you the hypocrisy. Like y'all said, it's money, man. It's just so the hypocrisy of this whole thing. You know, like if the sport is that damn dangerous, why are you playing it? Because it makes a lot of money. So what you're gonna do? You're gonna half-ass it and come up with some bullshit rules. All it's going to do is just make the game whack.
Yeah.
And it's been getting whack on people. Like, one of my biggest pet peeves, and I know I've spoken to Mark about this before, is tackling has gone down over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just tired of seeing dudes bouncing off of niggas. Like, grab that dude and bring him down.
Yeah, they can't because of the rules. You know, if I grab him here, that's a penalty. If I touch him if I hit him this way, that's a penalty and a fine.
You remember the back in the days, the defenses back in the days, man?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't have no running back just running through, bouncing off of people, going 10, 20 yards all the time. That didn't happen a lot.
Nope. And then they changed the rules. It's more of a passing game now.
Of course, because some asshole who knows nothing about the game decided, hey, I like when they pass. Let's have more of that.
And defenders can't do what they used to do, you know. The defender can't touch a receiver now.
Jeez.
Listen, man, you got dudes 300 pounds over 6 feet tall running full speed at each other. Not
hey,
what you can
what
do,
about,
man.
What about the infamous Deacon Jones head slap trying to get to the quarterback?
Oh, they bought that a long time ago, really.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's a classic move to get around get around the offensive lineman.
Sure.
Yep.
Not at this day and age.
The Deacon.
Could Lawrence Taylor be in today's NFL?
Not the way he played, he would have to change his game.
Isn't that some craziness?
That right there tells me football sucks right now. Then.
Yeah.
Yep. They're going to ruin the sport. The sport of a
hold on, fellas. We're going to go into overtime. We got a minute left. Max 611, Big Brother Arthur, Iconis Walker, In the Paint crew with us. We're going to go into overtime. I'm going to let my man Crayon take us out.
Yeah. In the Paint, Blog Talk Radio, and I'm Crayon. New York is filled with ballers with nasty crossovers. Jump shots that pop from half court, a block over. The break's over, the Giants and the Jets going straight to the bowl. Yankees and the Mets rolling. The Rangers and Islanders, and how can I forget the Devils and Brooklyn Nets? You know I rep my Knicks. Brain scans reveal we the most knowledgeable fans. That's why we demand more for sitting in the stands. A lot of cats be hating, who's the best but who's debating? We got a man on the street for sports conversation. In the Paint, Blog Talk Radio. Go from the locker room to your headphone or stereo. Yo, them other sports shows really ain't a about nothing. You got a top and drop it, and it's open for discussion. Let me know in the off season what players should we acquire, who's hurt, who should retire, what coach need to get fired. Hey yo, in the paint, Blog Talk Radio, all you gotta do is call them once and let them know. And there you go, in the paint, Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Once again, giving you the real talk in sports. In the paint, Blog Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Catch my brother, Mac611, Big Brother R, Cyclonus Walker. If you want to reach us by email, InThePaintRadio@gmail.com, baby. And we out.
Go ahead, fellas. I think you were speaking, Holla. Or was it you?
It might have been both of us, to be honest. I just wanted to say that they're ruining this game. You know what I'm saying? And especially on the defensive side of the ball, we talk about where instincts play a factor, a huge factor. You know, now you got to have a guy thinking about what they're going to do, you know, how to tackle and whatnot, how to go about, you know what I'm saying, their business on the football field. That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
And it's going to cause more injuries.
For sure.
Hey,
watching
more than watch football, you know, it's the dangerous sport.
Mm-hmm.
People is going to do what they have to do to compete. Steroids and all that stuff used. But that's what we want. Collectively, that's what the public wants. So then that's what's going to happen.
First of all, as a football player,
is get over
you
it.
Know what you're getting into as a football player. I'm not sure
if it's what the public wants. I think the public wants to see football. They want to see tackles. I think it's the owners are protecting their money from the suits that are coming out from all these injured
veterans, the older guys,
the retired players. Yes, the retired players. More money that they have to shell out for the veterans' pensions. That's what this is about. I'm not sure if it's. I don't think it's public opinion. I would be surprised, none, if it is public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to respond? Jesse, your mic is live. If you're gonna talk. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we all still here. You know, they should help these players out. You know. But I know they only care about their bottom line. They don't care about the guys who are waking up one day, and they got Parkinson's.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean,
sure.
I mean, I know there's a football pension or whatnot. I get that, you know. But maybe instead of here's the problem. Maybe instead of worrying about lining their pockets with so much fucking money, they should you know, maybe raise the pension or provide some other alternate. You know what I'm saying? Another alternate plan where these former players, these vets can care for themselves. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still plenty of money to go around and shit, you know, but then again, we're talking about greedy fucking people. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, maybe that's, you know, pie in the sky thinking by me, you know, God forbid, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy. You know, I don't know.
No, you're not crazy. That would be in the honorable world. That would be a good idea.
It would be, but I'm just saying, even if you raise the money, you know what I'm saying? Even if you come up with another plan or whatnot, where you know you take a little bit more money out the owner's pockets, you're still profiting, for God's sakes. I mean, what the fuck?
Well, you talking about people who aren't honorable?
Yeah, true.
You know, they really don't care about steroids. They don't.
Yeah.
Nobody does. It's just a bunch of grandstanding, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, people people want to see a certain thing and they want to see a certain level of performance, a lot of times they don't realize that a lot of those levels of performance are enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
But do they care?
No.
No.
Just think about track and field when we watch, you know, you want to see Usain Bolt. You want to see him run a, I want to see him run a 9.4 in 100.
Mm-hmm. I mean, perfect example is the WWE.
Yeah. Okay, right.
You know, we love wrestling and everything, but those guys get treated like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
They don't
I mean, unless
have
you, unless you're a top guy, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Like a Stone Cold or a Rock or whatever, like
mm-hmm.
those guys, yeah, they get hooked up because they the meal ticket.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the average, I mean, they don't even take you. You got to get to WrestleMania a lot
right.
of times. How you get there, that's up to you.
Yeah. Right.
You know, no health care, no benefits, all that shit.
Yeah, kid.
No,
right.
no contract. They squashed it. Anybody even talking about contract gets squashed out.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the schedule is ridiculous.
Right, right.
They traveling 200. They doing shows and traveling 200 days.
I don't know about nobody else. When I'm watching, when I'm home and
mm-hmm.
it's a holiday,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking at like let's say it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. Or any holiday,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking at the WWE, the first thing that's going through my mind is, why are these guys wrestling?
Yeah, right.
You know what? Are people that amped up for wrestling that you, if you, you can't go, can these people go home with their family? You're
right,
out there in
exactly.
the ring on a holiday.
Nah, but I feel what you're saying, though, man, in the grand scheme of things. I get you, you know? I mean, this pisses me off, man. You know, you already killed my love. You pretty much killed my love for one sport, and that was baseball. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
Now you're gonna kill my love for this shit, too, at some point? Come on, what the fuck?
That's what they do, man. That's what they do.
Jeez, man, I'm like, come on.
They destroy everything. Until there's nothing left.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen. Pretty much. Nothing's going to be fucking left.
They want to create a world of just barrenness.
Right. Oh, man.
Can I change the subject for a second? Because I wanted to ask Mark a question about Fruitvale Station.
Okay.
About what? Oh, okay.
Because I never heard you give like a review or something on that.
You know, I need to, but I'm gonna see it again before I do that.
Hmm.
Because I did like it. What was your question?
Well, I just wanted to know what you thought about it, like what the strengths was, like, because I know I've been hearing certain things, but you actually seen it, so.
Okay,
yeah,
well.
I saw it also. I'm sorry, Mac. I didn't mean to cut you off. But I
no
saw
problem.
It also, and I no, there's a problem. I don't mean to cut you off, but I saw it also, and I was and I had dinner with a couple of friends, you know, wives and a couple of girlfriends, and he was talking about it, and there were some things I have just like you said, I have to see it again before I
mm-hmm.
really get into it. Because I think I see myself having a couple of problems with that movie.
Hmm. I'll say this. It wasn't, you know, like some movies dealing with that topic are sensationalized. It wasn't like that, you know. And you know, you actually... You know, I'm not from the West Coast, so I actually got to see Oscar Grant's perspective of his life and what he was going through on the West Coast. And I could sympathize with what he was going through at the time. And it was a good movie. It's a good movie.
See, I heard the same thing what you mentioned about the West Coast.
One of my friend's girlfriends formerly lived, Northridge.
Okay.
Northridge, and she later lived here. Yeah, San Francisco has the BART system. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, San Francisco.
With the trolley.
The whole Bay Area.
Right. And their policing is much, their policing is different than what she observes here on the East Coast. So I have to, like I said, I have to see the kid. Because I have problems with, I have many problems with stop and frisk and all this other stuff. I have issues with it.
So what were the issues?
He said you
have issues
with stop and frisk. What are your issues with stop and frisk?
Excuse
oh,
me?
Oh, no, no. Wait, are we talking about the movie or the stop and frisk policy?
I have stop and frisk policy.
Oh, okay.
What are your issues?
I think everybody has an issue with it. Well, everybody except white New Yorkers.
Yeah. What are your issues, Richard?
First of all, it's unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first issue. Second
mm-hmm.
of all, it was basically put in place, and I've heard this from police officers, it was basically put in place to put as many people in the system as possible.
Yeah. Oh. I've been, I don't know, recently since, I guess, since I'm in the other borough, I haven't been stopped and frisked in 3 years. But before that, at least three times a year, I have to deal with the stop and frisk.
Maybe because I'm older. I'm 55. I've never been stopped and frisked.
Right.
But I do on occasion go to a homeless shelter. I do talk
mm-hmm.
to young men, advise them on certain things. I have taken some, you know, clothes that I don't wear anymore, can't wear
mm-hmm.
anymore to a men's shelter in Brooklyn. And
mm-hmm.
I talk to them on occasion, you know, ask their
mm-hmm.
opinions, just josh around, but I talk to them, you know, as real as it is. Some of these men, some especially the younger men,
mm-hmm.
they've been mandated to the shelter on their release from incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
I say this. And some of them, you know, they just need guidance. They have to get their head straight because they're not home with mom anymore. They're not with their girlfriend. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's right. We're off the air, right?
Yeah.
It's not streaming live,
you know,
but it is being recorded.
Oh, okay. You know, some of the young men who come out of incarceration, you know, they worry about their former girlfriend. I say to them, and I try to put it to them as plain as possible, listen, if she was your girl, you wouldn't be here.
Mm.
You'd be living with her. She would have went with you before the judge and said, you know, you would have given her address
mm-hmm.
as your new residence with your probation officer instead of coming here. So
mm-hmm.
you cannot watch. You cannot be preoccupied with thinking about her vagina because it's her vagina. She can give it up to whoever she wants to give it to.
Yeah.
In reality, she's just lending it to you for a few minutes of pleasure. You're here in this facility, in this lower echelon institution, so you can get your shit together. Get your job core, your GED or whatever. Get your job, get your own apartment. So you can have her come to your place, and if you want, you can throw her out and get another girl.
I think I've heard this conversation before. me and Hollow.
Well, this is something I've told young guys. It is common sense if you actually think about it. Stop and frisk. I was reading an article. There's an article this past weekend in the Daily News regarding the stop and frisk policy in Philadelphia, because Philly had big issues with stop and frisk also. And I think one of the is regarding the debate whether the new mayor would appoint an inspector general to the police commissioner to oversee the stop and frisk policies. And one of the reporters had interviewed the inspector general for the Philadelphia Police Force. And it's a lady. She is willing to give pointers to the New York City Police Force on improving the policies of stop and frisk to make it more community active, make it more receptive to the community.
How about eliminating it?
Well,
the premise is faulty.
Well, my first point was that it was unconstitutional.
Well, not just unconstitutional. The premise itself is faulty.
Yeah, well,
it's like and the statistics have back it up that the success rate of people who actually are caught with stuff. What are you talking about? 10%?
Less.
And then the argument is, I heard somebody make the argument, well, because of the stop and frisk, that might deter people from carrying guns. What makes you think they got guns to begin with? Your assumption is that every black person got a gun, and the reason why they don't bring it out is because there's cops that might check them?
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying? It's like the whole premise is ridiculous. Because if they're going to go buy drugs, then white folks should be getting stopped more than anybody. Because statistically, they use more drugs.
Yep.
Well, okay. What do you say to the parents? I'm just asking a question. My questions do not necessarily represent how I feel, okay? But what do you say to the single mothers who have lost their son due to random gunfire on the street?
I would say that has absolutely nothing to do with stop and frisk.
Stop and frisk is not a deterrent, and they have to prove it.
You can't just say it. Like, whoever thinks that is a deterrent to gun violence is going to have to prove that statistically.
You will have hundreds of thousands of mothers at your doorstep waiting to blow you up because they are in favor of stop and frisk.
Well, they're sadly mistaken. Because in the areas like even Fox News had to admit, because the evidence was so overwhelming, the places that have the highest crime is the places with the highest poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
No doubt.
So stop and frisk is not a new. So like when they tried to take, the reason why they determined that or came up with that conclusion is because they was trying to prove that in every city where stop and frisk took place, crime went down. And they discovered that it was bullshit. No, it didn't.
I agree with that. I agree with some of your points. All I asked was, what do you say to the mother who has
That's
lost
what I would say.
Son? I think you will have a number beating down your door.
Well, I mean, that's cool because there's if I was to say that the globe is round, there might be a lot of people knocking down my door because they think it's flat. That doesn't matter. What matters is it's the truth. And the truth is Stop and Frisk is not connected to any lower percentage of crime. It doesn't deter anything. And the success rate is like 10%. And they're not targeting. If you're telling me that you want to target the people that's going to yield the highest results, then Stop and Frisk white folks.
I can agree with that.
Stop and Frisk young white men and young and white businessmen, and you'll get all the drugs that you want.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Because I had a reason why I'm so particular touchy on this particular opinion on this subject. I had a dude, a black dude, that used to work at a job with me, and he said something that infuriated me probably more than anything I've ever heard. When I'm outside trying to catch a cab, I'm not a criminal. I never killed anybody. I never robbed anybody. So when I go out and I try to catch a cab, guess what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to catch a cab so I can go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal.
I agree with you.
He said he can understand why cab drivers don't pick up black men. I said, oh, really?
Huh.
Really? You understand it? So you so fucking delusional that you're willing to have yourself treated as a criminal because of what somebody else did?
And guess what happened to a cab driver recently?
I really don't have much sympathy for cab drivers because I always say when I find out one of them died, I'd be like, well, man, maybe had you picked me up, you'd still be alive.
Guess what happened to the cab driver? He picked up one of those white businessmen. Dude was a little twisted. Took him to Connecticut. That's about a $200 to $300 fare. Right? When he pulled up to the guy's house, he said, oh, I ain't paying you shit. F you. Pulled out a knife, called him out his race, you know. Call him Punjabi, you know, towel head, whatever. And sliced him. He said he was scared for his life.
Interesting. And that's probably the same guy who drove past me. So fuck him.
Shoot.
The person that you picked up that killed you, not the one that you didn't, jackass.
Yeah. Do you know one of the largest purchasing communities of crack cocaine is the Hasidic Jewish community?
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
Huh.
It also doesn't surprise me that they ain't going to get stopped and frisked.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm talking about. I have a friend who works at Brooklyn Hospital.
Uh-huh.
And she used to tell stories about sometimes four or five times a night a Hasidic Jew from...
Yeah.
Downtown Brooklyn, Crown Heights, South Williamsburg by the Brooklyn Bridge just before Dumbo. The Hasola ambulance would drop them off at Brooklyn Hospital, coming with their own doctors saying this man had an overdose.
Me and Hollop seen one of them. My man had a prostitute in the middle of the street.
I mean, it's not really shocking to me because I mean, who the fuck is they? Like what? They not? Are they above crime?
Nope.
I have no, you know, it's not even a contradiction to me because I look at them as criminals to begin with.
There you go.
So when I find out they're doing criminal things, it does not surprise me at all.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know if y'all see the news, all of this molestation and porn, what do they call it? Child pornography, all in their community. They raping little boys.
Raping their neighbor's daughters and telling their daughters to keep on a hush hush.
Yo, just to change the subject, because I don't know how much time we got.
We got a half hour.
You know, I saw The Butler.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
You know what's funny? I'm going to tell you. Like, I don't know. Y'all probably saw my Facebook status.
Yes, I did.
The funny part about this movie and just me reviewing it, it sort of feels similar to how I felt when Barack Obama got elected into office. It's like it's a split feeling. It's like I was happy because my people was happy, and I was happy for my elders, like the people who went up through all of that bullshit and never got, you know, and finally had a chance to see a black man as president of the United States. So it's like, I understand that, and I was sensitive to it, but at the same time, being who I am and knowing what I know,
how long would that feeling last?
There's that going, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it was similar. Like, so when I walked out of the theater, I was, you know, like I said, I looked at the movie and I said, well, I can appreciate this movie because on an artistic level, it's on point. Execution-wise, it's on point. It's well-acted and everything. But, man, if you any type of person who is a nationalist, you are going to be pissed. You are going to be pissed. And you know who I am. There was a couple of scenes in that movie that pissed me off.
I didn't see the movie, but let me guess, was it any parts with the dialogue between the butler and any of the presidents?
No. That was cool. Like the whole storytelling aspect of it was done really well. Like how they were able to go through history with the presidents that he served under and all of the major events that happened. That was really well done. My problem was how they presented the nationalist train of thought during that whole time. Because, first of all, they make it seem as if integration in that whole fight in the civil rights struggle was a part of what was going on. But there was also another part going on during that time, too, and that was the Black Power movement. They took a big fucking dump on that. The way that they portrayed the Panthers was no different than how the government sees the Panthers. And then there was also a scene because his son was instrumental in a lot of, like, the son was present in just about every major event you saw going on. I don't know how believable that was, but he was at the march. He was at the March on Washington. He was at the counter where the kids went in and you remember this footage of the white folks harassing the kids at the counter and beating them up? Remember that? Historically? You see that?
I didn't see the movie yet.
No, not the movie. Historically, like when the kids would go into the diner and then they would harass the kids and push them and spit on them and stuff like that. They showed that he was there. He was there doing the riots. He was there for everything. There was a scene. This isn't really a spoiler, but there was a scene with him and his father, like the butler and his son was at dinner at their house, and this was during the time when the Panthers was hot and popping. Oh my God, that scene pissed me off. Because the way that they presented the Panthers and the way, and like the stuff that he was saying, and the way that his girl was acting, I'm like, first of all, the girl that they had that was his girlfriend in the scene was with him at the diner when they was at, so she was a part of the civil rights movement. She wasn't no street girl.
Oh.
She was a college chick. So then when she gets to the dinner table with the family, she's acting like she burps, sitting at the table burping. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Where did that come from? Just totally took a big steaming crap on the Panthers. Malcolm X was dismissed in one line, really. Like they were, I think they was coming from supposedly listening to him. And the guy says, I don't know about this. What do you think about this dude, Malcolm? He's like, I think he's, and somebody says, well, I think he's a lot, his strategy is a lot better than what they're doing now. And then he mentions something, that the line that my brother always quotes from Malcolm, where he says, be respectful of everybody, but if anybody put their hands on you, you send them to the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the crazy part about that line, when I heard it in the movie, is that my brother always refers to that line as a line that changed his life and changed his perspective on how he saw things. But in the movie, they just dismissed it as, just another violent nigga. So if you're a nationalist, you're going to have some major problems with this movie and how they presented that train of thought. You know, but I like, there were some things that I did like about it. I like the relationship, or the way that they portrayed the relationship between him and his son. I'm not a big particular fan of the guy who played his son. I never really liked that dude as an actor, but I would say this is probably his best work. And I think it has more to do with the writing, because they just showed how his character developed over the course of time. It's the same guy that played in Red Tails.
Mm.
The African guy.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his, but he was okay. He did his thing in this one. But Oprah has always impressed me as an actress. Like, I never had a problem with Oprah acting.
Yeah, she's a good actress.
Yeah, she's a really good actress. In this role she was good. I didn't really like people talking Oscars. I personally didn't see any, because when you say Oscar to me, it's got to be standout. It's got to be something where memorable. Like when I think Oscar, like if you know, like Sergeant Waters, the character that Adolf Caesar played, that's an Oscar character, because you're going to always remember that character.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't see that in this, even though Whitaker was good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was solid. Everybody was solid in it. I didn't see anything in there that just screamed Academy Award to me.
Okay.
You know, like that's why I feel. I haven't seen Fruitvale Station yet, but they're saying that this guy, Michael B. Jordan, is in the running.
He nailed.
That's the main reason why I wanted to see it, so I can see his performance. But I mean, on a technical level, creatively, the movie's fine. It, you know, if you know, like the average mainstream black person is going to go there and feel uplifted by the movie, you know. But the people who are the serious thinkers, are the people who are the nationalist thinkers and who have historical perspective and know some history about how that whole civil rights thing was and know the role that people like Malcolm and the Panthers played in that, they really, really trivialized them in this movie.
Well, you know,
really trivialized them.
The movie isn't based on, it's loosely based on someone who's a butler, so it's not biographical. It's not it's not taken from anybody's history.
Oh, and then
so it's somebody,
God,
it's from somebody else's perspective.
His story? The way that the movie starts off, his personal story is some fucked up shit.
That's what you get with a Lee Daniels movie. Lee Daniels always has some messed
up. I don't want to give no spoilers away, so I ain't gonna say what it is. But I know that, man, Our people is something else, man. And the thing that really bothers me, but they should have put at the end of the movie, no white people were harmed in the making of this movie. That's what they should have put, because it's like it's always this dignified in the face of, when the freak have they ever been dignified in the face of anything? When they're going through something and somebody's trying to commit acts of violence against them, oppress them, or take away they feel some right it is, you ever seen them dignified in the face of that? Where you sitting up there letting people spit on you and stuff, and you dealing with that stuff, and you even thinking that you want to react to that, that's evil?
That's like, what's that movie, Remember the Titans?
Mm-hmm.
That scene when the white girl tells the white football player they hate us. Hey, don't nobody hate you.
That's what you call a narcissist.
Yeah.
A narcissist always feels that the world revolves around them. Like, they don't understand the concept that, you know, nobody really freaking cares about you. It's just like girls that I see who's paranoid out in the streets because they feel somebody's looking at you. You know, this is New York City. Nobody's looking at you.
Right.
Everybody's right. Caught up in their own little world and cipher. That's why people in New York don't talk to each other. They walk, and it's all, you can be on a crowded train. Nobody's saying, hey, neighbor, how you doing? It's because everybody got their own problems and their own shit. They got more important things to be concerned about than your ass.
Right.
You're right. When I went to school in New Jersey, I'm walking through the town. Hey, good morning. What the fuck you mean, good morning? You trying to hold up on me?
Yeah, nobody looking at you. The biggest problem that people have in New York is being noticed. Not being ignored. Because the majority of the time, they're ignored.
Yeah, Well, you know what? Getting back to Stop and Frisk, everybody, you know, Mike Lupica says it's just the worst thing they could do. We're going to go back to the 80s.
Mike Lupica says, well, he ain't alone, so.
Huh?
He's not alone.
Well, you know what, Mark? Remember when we went to, the Million Youth March? What did Giuliani say was going to happen?
Huh.
And then what happened? Because he ordered it. I told you it was going to be violent.
Oh, shit, y'all. I got to get out of here. I just realized.
Yeah, same here. Same here, brother.
I'll let y'all good people later.
You know all what? Right, I got to go myself.
Good convo, gentlemen. Good convo.
All right. Thank you.
Sir.
I appreciate that, Rich. Always good to have you.
Yes, sir. I'm going to shut it
good
down
night,
myself because I got something to do.
Same here.
Same in the paint channel. Same in the paint chip station next week. Catch all you fellas later. Peace.
Peace out.